Welcome back to the Chicago Tomahawk. I'm Mike and I got my line mate Matt with me. And today is part three of a four-part podcast series on a rundown of all 32 NHL teams and where they are right now. But before we get into it, do us a favor, give us a follow on Twitter and subscribe to the podcast if you're listening. So to get right into it, the teams that we're going to be covering today are the Nashville Predators, the New Jersey Devils, the New York Islanders, New York Rangers, Ottawa Senators, Philadelphia Flyers, Pittsburgh Penguins, and the San Jose Sharks. So, Matt, we'll start off with the Preds. I'll tell you what, man. They had a pretty rough start to last season. Yeah, it was a weird season, a rough start. But, man, they really turned it on and came back, I would probably say, at the halfway point. They actually became a team that was incredibly difficult to beat, even for Carolina, Florida, and Tampa Bay. What do you think, man?
Yeah, Saros was the reason that this guy was on fire.
Yeah, he was.
And I was just going to say, well, Rene retired, and this guy now it's his net. It's officially his net, and let's see what he can do. They're a very, very boring team to watch, but...
Yeah, they are.
They grind their way, and they win games with their defense and their goaltending. But they did get rid of some key guys like Ellis and Arvidsson.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if I got them in a playoff spot, but maybe they're going to compete with the Hawks for that wild card.
In all honesty, I was as equally surprised with the Arvidsson trade, kind of like the Atkinson from Columbus.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I thought that Arvidsson was there for the long haul, to be honest with you.
Well, Poli's excuse was, I think that's his name, but the GM said that they couldn't protect him. They were protecting other players, so they didn't want to lose him for nothing. So he traded him to the Kings. But I guess they wanted to move on from him, and the Kings got a very good player.
Big time.
That's why a lot of people think the Kings are, you know, they're kind of rebuilding their way back in, and they're adding good pieces like Arvidsson. So
Arvidsson and Deneau on the Kings makes them a much better team.
I agree.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't see that coming. I don't see them making the playoffs this year. I see Roman Josi having another, another season, you know, that's comparable to his. I think that he's a phenomenal defenseman. I think that he plays great D and can play. He's just a great two-way defenseman, in my opinion. But I don't see them making the playoffs. I just think that they're a little, I don't want to say a soft team, but they'll have some compete, but I don't think that they have the players to compete with the top teams in the league. I'm not saying the Blackhawks are a top team in the league. I'm saying that they're a better team than what Nashville is right now. But who knows, man? You know, they could surprise everybody, come out of nowhere, and Soros put up a ton of low-scoring games, you know?
Yeah, so, let's hope he stays healthy, because if he goes down, the Preds are done.
Well, I just hope that he shits the bed when it comes to playing the Hawks, to be honest with you. So let's move on to New Jersey, the Devils, the Cup contenders, the Cup favorites, according to Dougie Hamilton. I think that they've done a really, really bad job with mentoring and developing Jack Hughes. I thought Jack Hughes was a really solid talent, but he hasn't been able to translate his game into the NHL yet. And I think because they played him too early. Was he probably one of the best players on the team talent-wise? I would definitely say so. But was his body, was his, you know, hockey mind acclimated and ready for the NHL game? I don't think so. And I think that's a big piece that has been missing from him. But I do see him starting to make a change this year and maybe start coming into his own. I believe this is going to be his third NHL season. And, you know, there's a turn of the tide over there in New Jersey. You know, when Brodeur retired a few years ago, it was, you know, the end of an era. Nobody knew where, you know, New Jersey was going to be. And they've been in the drums of the league, to be honest with you. They haven't been competitive, really. And they're playing in a very tough Eastern Conference as well. Where are you at with New Jersey?
Yeah, I think they're going to win the Cup because they signed Dougie Hamilton. I wrote the same thing you said, so I was dying. Mm. They're not ready. They added the other brother, the Hughes brother. I think he's a defenseman.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool to see that in the draft. That kid was, they were both hugging, and then you see Quinn in the background. He goes, "Yep, I'm on Vancouver, and I'm going to win before you guys. So, and I'm better." And he's honestly a very good defenseman. He's actually an exciting player to watch, Quinn Hughes.
Yeah, he is. He's not a really big guy, though.
Definitely the better of the Hughes brothers. New Jersey also signed Thomas Tatar. He's kind of been around. He's a 2-year, $9 million. I think they signed Bernier, too, to 2 years for the goalie.
Wow.
And I don't see them being anywhere close to a playoff spot. Like you said, they're in a very good division. Maybe a couple years, but I don't know. I don't think that they're making big steps to be a contender.
Luke Hughes is the third Hughes brother.
Defenseman, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually think he's the biggest one out of all of them, too, standing at 6'2".
Yeah, he did look taller in those videos.
Both of them, yeah.
Yeah.
That's always funny to see, you know, especially when it comes to, like, hockey families. You know, you look at the Doc brothers and they're both, you know, pretty much the same size. But then there's other families, you know, where we'll take the Hughes brothers, for example, where there's one that's 6'2 and the other one that's, you know, that's 5'11. I think Quinn and Jack are both 5'11.
I think they're lying about Jack. I think Jack's actually shorter. Like I think five, he might be like 5'8", yeah. 165 pounds soaking wet.
Yeah, that's funny. The Stahl brothers, they're all about the same, like 6'3", 6'2", all of them.
And they're all winners. They're all good players.
Yeah, man, they
are. I'd take any of them for sure.
Yeah, you know, Jordan, I think when he came into the league as a third-line center for the Penguins, you know, he was such a great player, a Selke candidate. And I think moving to Carolina, man, was a detriment to his career because he wasn't just a good defenseman for the Penguins. He was an excellent third-line defenseman with some offensive upside. When he went to Carolina, I think that he wanted to be more of the guy, and he wanted to play with his brother, you know, second-line center type of role. And I don't think that he's played his best hockey there. I think he played his best hockey in Pittsburgh. But, you know,
Jordan? Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking about Mark.
No. I was talking about Jordan.
Yeah, okay.
Mark was always pretty, he's always been pretty solid, to be honest.
Yeah, he's Mr. Ranger, man. He was on that team for a long time. Then he went over to the Red Wings. You know what, dude? We forgot to talk when we did the Red Wings. We forgot to mention Nick Leddy's on that team.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we did.
You know what? And I wrote that down and I said, you know what? I feel really bad about leaving Nick Leddy out because now Nick Leddy's going to probably be playing with Stahl. That's a damn good pair right there.
Yeah, it is.
I didn't want to leave that out because I know they're rebuilding. I know they got another year or two, but those are two damn good guys to have on your team when you're rebuilding.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Nick Leddy.
I think that would be an incredible second line pairing.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel real bad about leaving Nick Leddy out. I've always been a Nick Leddy fan. I pissed off that Q was too hard on him as a kid, but he could have been our next, you know, he could have been the man after Keith.
I think that he was good back then. I don't think that it helped his case at all when we lost in the 2014 Western Conference Finals when the puck went in between his arms, you know, and he didn't block it, and then it went past Crow, you know. But Q always had a hard time for him, you know, and for a lot of Blackhawks fans, Q walks on water, and they don't want to admit the fact, you know, that, you know, he just refused to mentor and develop younger defensemen, and which you could also attribute it to being where we are in the position that we are today with non-developed defensemen. We traded John Klingberg to Dallas. He's been a mainstay on their defensive core ever since we traded him. And he's been a pretty good player for them, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, who would you rather have? Nick Leddy or Michael Roosevelt? And I feel like that guy was on the ice more than Nick Leddy during those runs. And it just drove me nuts because Roosevelt was old. He made more mistakes than Leddy. I don't care what anyone says.
Yeah,
and those mistakes always came back and haunted us. They'd go back and score the other way, or he'd lose a step and take a penalty. We'd get a power play goal against. And I'm like, we got rid of Nick Leddy, and he only made $7 million a year in the Islanders. And the Islanders were that was a great pickup when they, you know, got him. It's funny that we're talking about Nick Leddy because we're talking about the Islanders next.
Right, right.
Yeah. But they traded him to create space for their new guys. Pelech, he signed an 8-year extension. And I just can't believe they let Leddy go because I thought he was a solid pillar on that blue line.
Well, Leddy, originally, when he signed his first contract with the Islanders, that was a $5.5 million deal, which isn't bad.
I thought it was seven.
No, it was
six, seven.
It was like 5.5.
He signed a long term deal.
I'll have to take a look at it. Here, we'll move on to the Islanders and I'll look that up.
Okay. Well, yeah, I know the Islanders are actually they lost Jordan Eberle in the expansion draft, which is another guy who's kind of an important offensive player for them.
He's been bouncing around everywhere.
I know he started with the Oilers, I believe. He was with those guys for a long time. And I know that Lou is got like some moves on standby. I've been listening to NHL Net about this. They want to re-sign Zajac. They want to bring Palmieri back. I've heard Zach Parise. But they're trying to get some of these main guys figured out before they, you know, commit money to these guys. But as far as their play for my predictions, I think they're still cup contenders, just the way they have good goaltending with Varlamov and that Sorokin. They're going to be very, very good again. They're well coached, one of the best coaches in the league. I think that they can go all the way if they want it. They might want to try to add a game breaker on offense to get Matt Barzal some help. Like, we've been hearing Tarasenko's name a lot.
Man.
But nothing has happened yet. And I think that's why these four players I just mentioned aren't signed yet. I think they're waiting in the wings to see what they can bring in to help.
Could you imagine if Barzal played in a fast-paced offense?
Yeah, with a guy like Tarasenko flying down the freaking...
Well,
that guy's a beast.
If Tarasenko can stay healthy.
And he could shoot. Yeah, I know. That's been his problem. And I think he wants out of the Blues, too. So.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, Nick Leddy, actually, we were both right. It was a 7-year deal, $38.5 million, $5.5 million a year. He's getting paid $7 million in his contract this year, though, but his cap hit is $5 million.
That's a damn good cap hit.
5.5, yeah, man. That's excellent. So they locked him up. He's going to be an unrestricted free agent next year. So, you know, take that for what it is.
To the Hawks rumors. Come back home.
Oh, man. You know what? I don't know if we could do that, man. We've got some young guys that need, they need to come up and they need to play and they need to develop, you know, and get into the league, to be honest with you. Yeah, I would like to see him a Hawk again. But who would we, you know, who would he take the place of Mitchell or Bowden or Kalanuk? You know, I wouldn't want that to happen.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's what sucks. Sure. Even though I like him.
I'm not sure about that. I think we got to keep the McCabe and Jones together. And you know, we always forget to mention DeHaan. What's going to happen with this guy and stuff like that? So
I don't know.
We got to wait and see till camp.
He's got to find a roster spot, man.
Yep.
Him, you know, him and Strom could be on the outside looking in, to be honest.
They could.
But, you know, we're digressing big time. So yeah. Let's finish up on the Islanders. I see them as favorites, to be honest with you. They're a hard-nosed team. They can beat you down and score goals. Great goaltending. And to be honest with you, man, they gave Tampa
a scare.
Really, really big scare. Because that could have gone either way. It could have been the Islanders playing in the Stanley Cup Finals. And if they did, they would have won.
They absolutely would have won.
They were that good.
I think they proved that they could play a fast-paced game or a Nashville Predator Barry Trotz kind of game. Boring, right. But that's how the Canadians played, but that's their only way to play.
Right.
So I think that the Isles can adjust, and that's what makes them scary.
Right. Yeah, I agree. So moving on to the Rangers, right off the bat, yeah. Man, you know, they lost Pavel Buchnevich, and he was a big part of their team, I believe. He was a huge part of their team. We'll see how Panarin comes out this year. I'm sure he's going to have another great year. Hopefully he doesn't have any more legal trouble. And, you know, Henrik Lundqvist obviously retired. You know, that is over with. And you wonder is New York going to be in somewhat of a, like a turning of the tide? Is Panarin the king in New York now? You know, what is their identity? Does New York have an identity right now?
I don't know. I don't know what they are now, because they got rid of some top scorers, but they got very, very tough. They added a bodyguard for the bread man.
Yeah.
And you know, that first game, that's going to be the main storyline coming in, I think. It's going to be Tom Wilson versus Ryan Reeves. It's going to be, you touch my star player again like that, you're dead. And I think that is 100% reason why they brought Ryan Reeves in. And yeah, they added guys like Goudreau from Tampa, who's right, another big kind of tough guy. He could play tough, but he was a huge key in that Stanley Cup, both of them. And Adam Fox won the Norris Trophy, which is, you know, I was surprised by that one. But, I mean, that's huge confidence builder for the Rangers and their fans. Like, hey, we got a Norris Trophy defenseman on our team now. I thought Victor Hedman got gypped, but
I think so too.
You know,
I think he was a better defenseman.
Yeah, all around, he's just a better defenseman, and Cale Makar is right behind him, I think.
Yeah.
But I think the Rangers might, they're in another good division too, and a lot of teams got better, but I think they could sneak in if the Breadman stays healthy and they get some good goaltending.
I'm going to put them on the outside looking in.
Okay.
So we'll move on to the Senators. Ottawa. They are in what is said to be secret communications with Brady Tkachuk right now, looking to get a long-term deal done. And if they do, more than likely he's going to get the C. I think it's felt in Ottawa that Shabbat is more deserving of it. But, you know, Brady Tkachuk is their big draft pick, you know, a couple seasons ago. He's a big part of their future if he gets signed. And he's somewhat of the total package. He could score. He hits. He could play D. He can fight, you know, just like his dad and his brother.
I was just going to say that. Yep.
You know? You know, these both of them, him and his brother, are both chips off the old block, to be honest with you, 100%. Other than that, man, what do you have from Ottawa? You know, this is a team that is looking to take the next step to be competitive, you know, and they're not. They haven't been. I don't believe that they have been.
No, they got Brady Tkachuk. I think he's going to be a superstar. And he should, like you said, be the captain. This is a guy you want to build a team around. Matt Murray was brought in from Pittsburgh, a two-time back-to-back Stanley Cup champion goalie. And, you know, he kind of had some trouble his first year over there. And I don't know if you remember, but Matt Murray was rumored to come here that summer. And right, he ended up not wanting to resign here. So they moved him to Ottawa. I think he signed a 4-year deal with them. But I think if he can get back to form like the Pittsburgh days, I think he can, you know, they can compete, but I still don't see them making the playoffs yet. They're still much, they need their guys to, you know, take the next step or bring in some guys to help Tkachuk. But I don't have them making the playoffs this year.
That makes two of us, obviously.
Yeah.
Moving on to the Flyers. Philadelphia, they're another team playing in a very tough division, looking to be competitive. And I don't think that they've gotten any better. They have continually had a goalie, you know, an empty spot at goalie, a goalie conundrum. They haven't been able to get, you know, a franchise player to fill that position. And I think that's been their missing link for a very, very long time. Giroux is getting older. He is not the point producer that he used to be, but he's still a good player, very serviceable. And they need to have some new blood injected into this team. Where do you think that Philadelphia, you know, needs the biggest kick?
Well, I'm going to disagree with you. I think that they did get better. I think that Atkinson trade, they totally won that trade, which I didn't understand Columbus's thinking on that at all. This Cam Atkinson, we've seen him a lot last year. He is only bright spot of that Columbus team besides Seth Jones last year. This kid could skate, he could score. He's consistently scoring 20, 25 goals, maybe even 30 full seasons. I think he's going to help that team out a lot. They brought in Keith Yandle, a good veteran. He's been kind of jumping all over lately. They got Ristolainen from Buffalo, who's a good player. Ellis from Nashville, which, like we both said, we didn't understand that move either.
Right.
But that makes them better on the blue line. Then they brought in Martin Jones to back up Hart. I'm not sure how I think about this one, because Jones got lit up in San Jose. He was just brutal. And I don't know if anybody plays fantasy out there. I'm sure they do. If you see Jones like the next best goalie on your list, you're better off just not even picking another goalie, because he was awful. And the main thing that I just read about Philly was Giroux is not re-signing till the offseason, or if they even bring him back. He's not talking contract extension during the season.
Right.
So what does that mean? Maybe I think they're going to be moving on from him. I could see him, if they're terrible, moving him at the deadline to like a contending team trying to get over the hump.
Hawks, fourth line center. They'd be a killer fourth line center.
Oh, dude, he'd move right up. Dude, he's still a good player.
I'm not saying that he would be a fourth line center because of his talent and the way that he plays.
Just with our depth.
I'm just saying at the depth, at the position. I mean, he could play right wing, but I would rather have somebody solid like him playing that fourth line center. He can play good D at the center position, which I think is a big plus for him. An even bigger plus is that he is a huge offensive threat at the same time. And having him playing against maybe, I wouldn't say some lesser competition, but maybe he's playing on a lesser line where he has more offensive opportunities than playing against top line competition.
Do you know where I can see him going?
Where?
Pittsburgh.
Oh, man.
Just
can you imagine
to
that?
Stick it to the organization. Like, you guys don't bring me back, I'm going 6 hours away and I'm going to haunt you.
That'd be awesome.
I could just see that happening. He takes a lot of heat over there.
Yeah, he does. He always has.
It's not fair. I mean, I like him. I'm not crazy about him, but a good player when you see one. And
he used to love
100
him.
Points. 100 points a couple of years ago. He's solid. He was a top five center in the league a couple of years ago. I mean, there's no doubt about it, but the goaltending is the issue. They've had 1,000 goalies in the last like 10 years, it seems like. They've had Brian Elliott, Michael Layton, Brian Boucher, that crazy guy from Pittsburgh, Phoenix, Burskalov.
Oh,
remember
that? Yeah.
That shit
show. I was just going to say that, Eli Burskalov.
It's just been crazy. And then they got Hart, and he's young, and they're comparing him to Carey Price, so they're all going nuts in Philly. And
setting him up for failure.
Yeah, that, come on, man. Like, it's not enough pressure. Compare me to the best goalie in the world. And it's like, come on, give me a break. So hopefully they get onto a good start and Hart gets hot, but he's going to have some bad games. He's still young. But as for playoffs, I don't know yet. This is a tough one. I'll say maybe a wild card. We'll see.
I don't have them making it. I think that the goalie position is too iffy for me. You know, if they had a solid number one goalie and somebody decent to back him up, yes. But we don't know what's going to go on with Carter Hart. And Martin Jones, to be honest with you, is a soup sandwich. And I don't think that, you know, I mean, you might as well put Malcolm Subban in there, to be honest with you.
I probably would, honestly.
Yeah, I think, actually, yeah. I think that I would, too.
All right. The price, yeah.
Moving on to the Pens. Sidney Crosby. That's all you can really talk about is Sidney Crosby when you mention the Pens, but that's not going to be it today. We already know what Sidney Crosby is. We already know how great he is. He's still good. He's gotten a little slower over the years, but he's still great. His positioning is phenomenal, and I think that he's going to have another great year. What I want to talk about is Evgeny Malkin. We're talking about a player with a $9.5 million cap hit. He's going to be going into the offseason looking for a contract. What do you pay him? He's been a superstar for a long time, but you know what? He's been a broke superstar for a long time, too. He misses a lot of time from injuries, not playing. And I think that that has been a huge detriment to the team because he's taking such a large cap hit and he's not on the ice. Now, when he is on the ice, yeah, he could score points and he could put the puck in the back of the net. But the problem is that he's not on the ice consistently enough at 100% enough to warrant another one of those $9.5 million contracts. That's where I'm at with that. That's huge because he's their number two center. He could be a number, you know, number one center somewhere else if he could be healthy, but he's their number two center. And he's a big deal, man. Letang, I think, will play really well. And that essentially the rest of the team falls in line after that. You know, it's funny. When I think of the Pittsburgh Penguins, you know, we always talk about how we think of a player that kind of defines the team. For some reason, I always think of Brandon Sutter with the Penguins. But I just wanted to mention that. Where's he at now? I'm not sure. I'm not sure. He might be in Calgary. I'd have to double check.
He might even be in Vancouver.
Yeah, I'll have to double check. But where are you at with the Penguins?
Well, to answer your question, what do you pay Geno Malkin? I would pay him $7 million 2 years and say, hey, stay healthy. We'll talk about maybe more next 2 years. But we'll have to ask the pair at the point or give us a grade on our analysis of this team. But I think the Pens have a solid core still. I like, obviously, you got Sid, you got Malkin, you got Carter, you got Letang, you got Kapanen, you got Zucker, and Guentzel. I think they have a really solid team. But the only thing that they were terrible at last year in the playoffs was the goaltending. Jari and DeSmith were just not that good. And I think Jari was the starter, Tristan Jari, right?
Yeah.
I think they played the Islanders the first round, and the Islanders, I think they just lit them up. They, whatever the scouting report was, go high glove, and that's where they beat him. And it seems like they stuck to it, and they just made the Penguins look like, you know, a non-playoff team, and they're a good team.
Oh, really?
But I think they're going to make the playoffs again, but I was very surprised that Pittsburgh didn't try and get a goalie.
I am too.
No, being that their GM is a Hall of Fame goaltender, you know, it's like he's got to see this, you know? So I'm very surprised.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, that was the whole thing that ended up with Fleury and Matt Murray. You know, you would have thought Matt Murray was going to be the goaltender of the future.
Somebody's got to stay. Yeah, somebody's got to stay.
And they lost both of them. That's incredible. And especially, you know, Fleury was a mainstay. You know, he was the definitive goalie of their resurgence as a powerhouse Eastern Conference team, you know?
Matt Murray was solid.
He was
back
definitely.
To back, and he ran Fleury out of town. They made it clear, like, hey, we're not protecting you, Fleury. I mean, this kid is too. He's young and he's good. And
yeah,
they gave up on him pretty quick.
Yeah, they did. They did, but it is.
They're gonna make
it.
They're still gonna make it. They're a playoff team still. And yes, I like Brian 100%. Burke as the president. I think he's gonna be like, hey. This goaltending, it's not working. We got to make a move and we got to get a guy. And I think they're gonna do it.
Moving on to the Sharks, I want to say this, and I want to say this outright. I think Erik Karlsson is completely overpaid, and I don't think he should play defense. He's more of a right winger. For a guy who's continually in the negative and is plus minus year after year, I don't know how you can even validate him making the amount of money that he does. The fact that they decided to go with him and move on from Pavelski goes to show you that San Jose, they don't have their ducks in a row. For a long time, it was the Joe Thornton, Patrick Marleau show out there. Next thing you know, Karlsson comes in, and you know what, man? I think the whole squad, they just shit the bed. I don't see them being competitive at all this year. Where are you at with San Jose?
Yes, I'm glad that you said that, because I've never been an Erik Karlsson fan. Not taking away his skill on offense. He
very good at offensively.
Can put up some great numbers. I know he was a fan favorite in Ottawa. Good for him. Just don't think that getting 100 points and finishing a minus 25 makes you a Norris contender. It doesn't. $13 million a year, so they had no choice but to let Pavelski go, which is insane to me, because that guy, every time I watch him, like, say, play the Hawks or just watch him on, like, a game of the night, whatever, NHL game, he scores a goal. He's a huge factor in the game. And if I'm watching a Sharks game, I just see Erik Karlsson turning the puck over, coasting back, not playing defense. And I'm just not going to get into it because I can't stand the guy. But there's another guy I can't stand is Evander Kane. I know he has some off-ice issues. I'm not going to accuse him of anything, but he's got a very, very bad track record. You got your two goalies, Hill and Reimer, in net. I think I'd rather have Martin Jones, honestly. So that's going to be very rough, but they do have some studs. They have Thomas Hertl, Timo Meier, Logan Couture, the captain, and Brent Burns. That guy, I love that guy. He plays the position right too. He can slap it from the freaking blue and just a hard shot right over the glove. He could skate through guys. I think he had a very good goal this year against, might have been the Wild or something, but he skated through five players off of a faceoff and just all by himself. It was awesome. But as for playoffs, I have a big no.
Yeah, big no for me too. Yeah. Ironically, man, you know, Brent Burns was a right wing when he was playing with Minnesota.
With the Wild, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And then when he went over to the Sharks, he moved to defense. I wonder what constitutes maybe them, you know, saying, hey, you know what, maybe we should move this player to defense. You know, is it skating ability? You know, what is it?
I think he was drafted as a defenseman.
Okay.
And I think the Wild moved him up, kind of like a Bufflin experiment. But he,
that didn't
you
work.
Know what? No, he's a damn good defenseman.
Yeah, he
and,
is.
He's a very likable guy, classy guy. I'm a big fan of him.
Yeah, he's a really
and
good
guy. And he's got a damn good beard, better than Piercy's.
Well, cool, man. Do you got anything else?
Yeah, we got to talk about this interesting offer sheet war going on with the offer sheet wars. World War II with... Montreal and Carolina. Yeah. This is the second one in 2 years, right? I want to say. I think it was the last year. Sebastian Aho got the first one from Mark Bergevin, and the Canes, they matched it, but they had to pay him like a $20 million signing bonus, I believe. And I think his cap hit is like $8 or $9 million. And the Canes said, hey, you did me a favor. That's what we're trying to get out of him. And now the Canes have offered, I don't want to butcher his name. I'm going to let you say it.
Hold on. I gotta see it again. Hold on.
Katem Niemi. Jesperi. Yeah. I heard his name a lot in the finals.
Oh, Jesperi Katka Niemi.
Yeah. So this kid's 21 years old. He has 22 goals in 171 games played. 40 assists, 60 points, and he's a minus 11. The Hurricanes offered him $6.1 million for 1 year. So the Canadians can match it, or they can get a first-round pick or a third-round pick. So what would you do? I think I wouldn't match it, and I say, go ahead, enjoy. I'm going to take a first-round pick and a third-round pick.
Yeah.
I think that's the best thing to do if you're Mark Bergevin, because if you're losing some key players like through injury, like Shea Weber, you got to start thinking about the future and building.
I don't see, you know, to go backwards, I don't see Montreal competing this year. You know, he was their heart and soul of the defense last year. And he's gone, probably out for the season. He might not play anymore.
Even Philip Deneau, that's like another key player. I mean, they brought in David Savard, but he's not Shea Weber. Not even close.
Not at all. Yeah. I don't see them, to be honest with you, I don't know how they're going to be competitive.
Yeah.
Going but from this, Stanley this Cup is, finals to non-competitive.
But yeah, it's the like we said, the division, the North Division was pretty bad. Toronto pretty much ran away with it. And then the other teams were like, eh, you take second. No, you'll take second. Then they kept, you know, they were flipping and flopping a lot. But back to this offer sheet, I just don't understand what the point of it is for Carolina. I'm not sure. Maybe it was just to like a revenge, like, hey, this is what you did to Aho last year, and we're getting back at you. Like a $20 signing bonus, was it?
Yeah.
Just, and that's Aho's number. Right. That's just like, petty. Come on, this guy's starting some trouble here. But I just, I don't get it. If you're Thomas Waddell, I really don't, or Don Waddell, whatever his name is, but I don't see where this guy even fits. If you're going to spend $6 million on a guy who's got I know he's young, he's 21, maybe there's potential, but I mean, maybe you should have paid that to Dougie Hamilton if you were so high on him and, you know, give at least, you know, probably get him $9 million, but that six would have helped.
Right.
But I don't get this one. I think it's just kind of like, hey, remember you tried to screw me over? It's my turn to screw you over. But I think it can end up haunting them because they're going to lose a first and third round pick.
Yeah. And to be honest with you, I don't see, I don't think Carolina is going to be competing for a Stanley Cup this year. I think they'll make it to the playoffs, but I don't think that they will. I don't think they'll be competing. I don't think they'll make it past the second round.
Yeah, I think they can make it to the second. Maybe that's, like you said, maybe that's it. Hopefully Anderson or even Antti Raanta could carry that team, because they gave up on a young goalie that Yzerman jumped all over.
And huge.
Yeah, so hopefully that could bite them big time.
I think it will, to be honest with you. I think that's the single biggest mistake that they made this offseason.
Yeah, like we said, they beat themselves. There wasn't a goaltending issue. It was a penalty issue against one of the best power plays in the game.
Right.
And you can't blame anybody but your discipline on that one.
And they made him pay every time.
Yep.
Well, cool, man. Do you got anything else?
No, still been quiet. I guess Tavares is saying he's good to go. He's ready, and we'll get to the Leafs next podcast. I don't want to get too much into that.
I was going to wait because they said he's been, that he has been, you know, training, and they say his knee's been doing well, but I want to see if there's an updated medical report or maybe see if there's any more information on him before we get into that one.
Yeah. No, right, I'm cool. Good though, man.
Cool. Thank you everybody for listening. We're very appreciative. Very appreciative for you guys tuning in week after week, listening to us. It's great. We love it. And keep on coming. Let us know if there's anything, you know, that personally that you guys want to hear. Just give us a message on Twitter and we'll try and add it in on the podcast and we'll give you a shout out. But yep. That's all that we got for you tonight. This is the Tomahawk. We're out of here.